As Christians, we look forward to a very great reward. A reward that we will enjoy for all eternity. But have we ever wondered how our reward will be determined? Parents with young children will know that a child can be greatly encouraged and motivated when they look forward to a reward. A reward creates enthusiasm and excitement. It's something to look forward to. But the important question is this: how will our reward be determined? How will God decide what our reward will be? We are rewarded according to our works, according to the effort we make. But there is more to it than that. Let's take a family example. Suppose a father says to his son or his daughter, "For every euro you save, I will give you 5 euros. The 5 euros would be the reward for saving 1 euro. So if the child saved 100 euros, the reward would be 500. That would be the reward according to the effort he made in saving. In this example, a multiplication factor of 5 to 1 would determine the reward. In financial terms, we call this leverage or leverage. Leverage means that we make a large gain for a small effort, or a comparatively small effort. We can see that applying leverage would be very encouraging for a child to save money or to accomplish something. No question. Does God apply leverage to the work we do to determine a reward for us? We are going to see that is exactly what he does. So the title of the message is "The Mighty Law of Leverage." That's the title, "The Mighty Law of Leverage," and the purpose, to show how it works for us. Because God is very generous, he has built into his creation the law of leverage. For example, when a farmer gathers in his harvest of wheat or barley or oats, he reaps vastly more than what he sowed. In other words, he sows very little seed compared to the great harvest he gathers in. The law of leverage provides great gain for comparatively small effort. Let's go to the first scripture in 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9. The Apostle Paul shows this law applies both physically and spiritually. Let's read verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, now this is God he's talking about, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Did you notice the word multiply? Remember that when we sow to the Spirit, we reap everlasting life. That is a very great gain for a very small effort. Have we ever been discouraged by the little progress we seem to make as Christians? Well, we did not come to the feast to be discouraged. So let's turn to Luke 19. Luke 19. Notice that God applies the law of leverage for us if we are faithful in a very little. Let's read verse 17. Luke 19, verse 17. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little. Have authority over 10 cities." Having authority over 10 cities is a very great reward for being faithful in a very little. It is very encouraging to understand this, like the child who is rewarded 500 euros for saving only 100. The spiritual growth that we make is subject to the multiplication factor, meaning that we are rewarded. Our reward is far greater than what we deserve for the effort we make. Our reward is not only for the good works that we do. Our reward includes something else. What about the things we suffer? As Christians, for Christ's sake, are we rewarded for that also? What about the many hardships, the persecutions, the difficult trials, the tribulations, the long endurance? Does God notice? Yes, he does. And all of these things together are included in our reward. They all work together to determine a reward that will be greatly multiplied by the mighty law of leverage. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 for the next scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is this a new teaching? Or has it been part of Scripture from the beginning? We may be surprised to know that the Apostle Paul taught the same thing, but in different words. How does Paul describe this great law of leverage? Well, let's read verse 17. Verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Paul is saying a lot here in a few words. So let's consider this. First, Paul refers to our light affliction. He's including himself. We already know about the afflictions of Paul, the things that he suffered, his stripes above measure, shipwrecks, imprisonment. In one city he was stoned and dragged out, thought to be dead. How could Paul refer to his suffering as a light affliction? Paul was speaking comparatively. He was comparing the temporary sufferings of this life to the great reward that we all, including Paul, would enjoy for all eternity. Let's read that again, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice that our afflictions, our distresses, are working for us for eternity, a great reward. Now, what does that mean? Paul understood the mighty law of leverage. He understood this great law works for us to multiply our reward. Both our good works and our afflictions are included together to determine a reward that will be greatly multiplied by the mighty law of leverage. This great law is working for everyone all the time. The most dramatic example is in the life, the good works and suffering of Jesus. His reward will be greatly multiplied. Let's turn to John 12. John 12. Jesus compared himself to a grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. There follows from this grain of wheat a great harvest. Verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now Christ was referring to himself. How much fruit will this grain produce? By the sacrifice of this one man, Christ, the way has been opened for billions of children to be born into the family of God. As more children join his family, the reward for Jesus will be multiplied. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his power, his authority, his kingdom will grow. The mighty law of leverage is also working for God. The additional power that Christ will have will not be used selfishly. It will be used to serve his family, so all his family will benefit for all eternity. In closing, there is a warning that we must take seriously. Because we get so much for comparatively so little effort, we may be tempted to let down and do very little. That would be a big mistake. Remember the unprofitable servant. He did nothing with his talent. He was complacent, and he lost everything. We must be enthusiastic and motivated in the wonderful calling God has given us. Like the child who looked forward to the reward of 5 euros for saving only one. Understanding this, we must be encouraged to do more, to grow more, to bear more fruit, knowing that our reward will be multiplied by the mighty law of leverage.